Isn't it time that you powerfully aligned with your soul's purpose and activated your divine gifts and talents so that you can thrive in the new paradigm? Welcome to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. You've been divinely guided here because something deep within your diamond light longs to be activated so that you can joyously evolve through your ascension journey. Congratulations! You have arrived at the right place. After 20,000 soul purpose and healing sessions, Jennifer now joyfully shares with you her profound wisdom and experience in the Akashic Records, multidimensional healing, and all that is relevant to your creation story as a unique spark of divine light, love. Join us for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. Now, here's your host, Jennifer Longmore.
Welcome, everyone, to Soul Purpose Central. I am your host, Jennifer Longmore, founder of souljourneys.ca. So glad that you could be joining me today. I know your time is valuable, so I've got a treat for you. And if you are ready to really shed your inner mean girl, you're definitely going to want to meet this amazing, amazing guest that I have for you today, Amy Ehlers, the Wake Up Call Coach. She is on a mission to wake up your inner superstar so that you can shine bright. Praise the Lord. She is a certified life coach, best-selling author, the CEO of Wake Up Call Coaching, the co-founder of Inner Mean Girl Reform School, and her first book, Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves, Ditch Your Inner Critic, and Wake Up Your Inner Superstar, hit number one in several categories on Amazon, including self-help and happiness. So if you haven't picked up a copy, you're definitely going to want to visit www.bigfatliesbook.com. She's also a featured expert on ABC for the Washington Post and the Huffington Post and many, many radio shows. She's also the recipient of the Girls Inc. Women Who Dare Award for her work in health and wellness. And on a personal note, she's married to the love of her life, Rob. She's the proud mom of their 4-year-old firecracker of a daughter, Annabella, and their rescue mutt, Dozer. So if you're ready to ignite your inner superstar, go to www.readytogetinspired.com so that you can receive Amy's free inner superstar kit. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Amy.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. I'm so delighted and excited and ignited to be here. I just love your energy, and I just feel so honored. And I just get so excited when we get to talk about this topic because I know everyone listening deserves to have that feeling inside their soul and inside their body of being lit from the inside out and feel mm-hmm. that sense of joy and happiness. And that's, I know what you're all about and what I'm all about, so you're in the right place, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. And, you know, the truth is that not everyone is in this place. A lot of people live on autopilot, or they're allowing other people to live their dreams through them, or you know, whatever may be happening for them, that they really want what you and I are talking about, but they don't know how to get there. And I think a great starting place for folks is to help people understand who are listening right now how you got to this place where you're talking about letting go of the inner critic and waking up your inner superstar.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because I don't know why this is where my intuition is telling me to go, so I'll just go there. It's interesting because I was thinking back to my days in high school before I left for college. And I remember it was right before graduation from high school and right before going off for college. And I remember I was coming home from a party this one night, one of those crazy high school parties. And I remember sitting in my car in front of my house for like 30 minutes just sobbing my eyes out, uncontrollably saying, there has to be more than this. There has to be more than this. I want more than this. I want more than this feeling of feeling like I don't belong or that I'm trying to fit in or that I'm trying to just, you know, be pretty enough, be smart enough, you know, feeling, that perpetual feeling of not feeling good enough. And I think that whether you grew up in a household where you never felt good enough, which I know from, you know, I've coached now, been a life coach for over a decade now, and I know that sometimes people just grow up in an environment where they're told that terrible big fat lie, as I like to call it, that you're not enough. Or you grew up in a household where you were loved and treated as special and told that you were more than enough, and then puberty hits and all hell breaks loose and whatever you have to go through. Or whenever it happened, at some point, I know that most people could relate to that feeling of just like, oh, I'm just tired of living this way. And so I feel like there's these little snippets in my life where I had those wake-up calls. And before going into college was a big one. After college was another big one for me. And back in 1999, I kept running into a life coach in Los Angeles. I was living in Los Angeles at the time. And I was in a field that I was not enjoying at all. And I was feeling, again, that sense, just like you were talking about, of feeling like I was sleepwalking through my life and feeling that sense of, ugh, I don't want to live this way, and I don't know how to get myself to the next level. And so in Los Angeles, it's pretty hard to keep running into people when you don't know them. So on the third time when I ran into this woman who was a life coach, I was like, okay, universe, I guess there's a message here that I need to start working with this woman. And through getting life coached, I really discovered the power of life coaching and the power of really having a sacred relationship in your life where you were taking the time and the energy to really look at what it is that you really wanted, like what your soul really wanted. And through that, I ended up saying, I want to become a life coach. And so I became and started the whole process of becoming certified in 2000, and it really changed the direction of my life. And through the course of coaching all different women and men from so many different walks of life, every income bracket from below the poverty level to multimillionaires, I discovered this one common thread, and that was that no matter how smart or successful or beautiful or handsome a person was, on some level they were being way too hard on themselves. And that's when my mission, my calling, my purpose of saying, enough is enough. How can we really break that habit of being so hard on ourselves? And that's where my life purpose really came to the forefront, and then writing Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves, and really gearing my coaching and my message around that you can break free from being so hard on yourself.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's interesting as you say that, because it occurs to me that there's people listening right now that are like, yeah, I'm not really hard on myself. I've got it pretty good. But in fact, they might be hard on themselves without even realizing it. So how do they know when this is occurring? What kind of things show up?
Yeah, well, I think any time we have any sort of negative emotion, really, if you're feeling a sense of stress, if you're feeling a sense of worry, if you're feeling anxiety, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling resentful, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling enraged or like you're blaming everyone else, your inner critic is right there with a megaphone, as I like to say. So it's like there's this sense inside of our inner critics, and we all have one. Even you that's listening that thinks that you don't, I promise you have one. They just show up in different forms. And this is something really cool that Christina Rylo and I, who co-founded Inner Mean Girl Reform School, which is all about reforming your inner critic and transforming her into your inner superheroine, as we like to say. What we discovered is a whole bunch of different archetypes around inner mean girls and inner critics. And it's interesting because there's kind of the standard inner critic or inner mean girl that is just ruthless, right? The one that's just like, you're damaged goods, you're unlovable, you know, that kind of thing. And then there can also be an inner critic or inner mean girl that can be overly optimistic. Oh, sweetie, you'll be able to pay that off later. Just put it on a credit card. No problem. You know, right? That version of the inner mean girl that comes up, you know, and then there's like the achievement junkie inner mean girl. The achievement junkie inner mean girl is that one inside of you that is never satiated, never celebrates, and has been driving you and has that sense of ambition inside of you and is always putting your success and your happiness in your future. The achievement junkie one is so brutal, and it can be very hard working with clients over the years. It can be really hard for us to break free from our inner achievement junkie because it's like, well, won't I, you know, become lazy? Won't my ambition dry up if I let go of that piece of me inside of me that's never fulfilled, that never has enough? And there's so many different ways of breaking free of that and living life from a different come from.
Well, I'd love to stay with that because certainly that's something that I've overcome and probably still, you know, work through the nigglies around that. But I know it's common for a lot of people. So I'm curious to know your perspective on why we overachieve. What are some of the driving factors of that?
Well, I think that especially in, you know, the Western world, in our society, we've been told that that's the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. Mm. It can be this thing that we have been nurtured along the way, that achievement means happiness. Mm. But you can watch any reality show on television to, you know, if you need a reminder of watching, you know, people who have achieved all this stuff, and then, you know, just watch an episode of Celebrity Rehab. I don't even know if that's on the air. I never really have watched it, but it's like, hello, do we need anything more to say that this constant focus on the external things is not the key to happiness?
Mm-hmm.
But we mm-hmm. get, it's been really nurtured in us that if we just get the, you know, the job or the car or the guy or the girl or the jewels or the shoes or whatever, then we're going to be satisfied. Then we're going to be happy. And the truth is that those things really don't bring us happiness, at least not sustained happiness, which I know is what everyone who's listening really wants in their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the notion of happiness, because this is something that's come up a lot with my colleagues and some people are doing a project on this, it's interesting to see what people's definition of happiness is, because I think a lot of us have sort of a misidentified or a misapplied understanding of what that is. So how do we know when we're happy, and how do we know when we're not?
Mm. I love that question. I think that I do think that it is a very individual thing. What I always tell my clients is to go to how your body feels and to start really using your body as your most trusted ally in understanding the truth of how you're feeling, because we spend so much time in our heads and we can think our way through so many things, but when it comes to really unlocking that happiness and that joy and that sense of peace and contentment, it really lives inside of our body. So really going in and saying, when you have a moment of happiness, like for me with my daughter Annabella, just the other day I was just having this moment with her. She had just gotten home from school, and she was sitting on my lap, and I was looking into her eyes, and she was telling me, like, Mommy, no, but it's really happened. I can't believe it. Like, she was telling one of those great stories where it's like she's so full of magic and wonder about it. And I just felt so much joy and so much happiness in that moment. And I remember feeling this sense of tingling in my chest. I felt this sense of groundedness in my body, the sense of really being present, the smile on my lips. I had, a feeling of no pain in my body, just flow and energy and just presence. And that for me is one of the keys to knowing when I'm in the moment and to knowing when I'm feeling happy. So I invite everyone actually who's listening right now to just tune into your body for a minute. And just check out what's going on in your body right now. I know for me, I'm feeling really excited about being on the show with you, Jennifer. I love your energy. I get all excited when I get to be on radio and talk about what I'm so passionate about. So I feel a little sense of butterflies in my chest and in my stomach, and I'm feeling a little tingling in my hands. I'm feeling actually pretty darn happy right in this moment. And I'm sure that there's some people. And then there's some people I know that are probably listening right now who might be tuning into their body and noticing tightness in their chest, or a sinking feeling in their stomach, or a feeling of heaviness in their legs or their feet, or maybe you have a headache that's throbbing right now, whatever the truth is for you. And that, I think, can be one of the real keys to understanding when you're happy and when you're not happy.
Mm. I love that.
Hmm.
The body is such a great messenger.
It is.
If only we would listen to it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a whole body awareness, yeah.
Yeah. So what, you know, you've been doing this, you've been a coach for a long time, and you've been focusing a lot on helping people shift the inner critic and the inner mean girl. What kind of, what are some of the worst, and I say this loosely, but what are some of the worst case scenarios you've seen with people coming to you that are really suffering from this inner mean girl syndrome, I'll call it, and some of the biggest transformations you've seen?
One of an inner mean girl reform school graduate that comes to mind, she, one of the first steps at Inner Mean Girl Reform School is to really identify your inner mean girl. And I write about this in my book as well, Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. I'll give this as a little inspiring homework assignment for everyone listening, is to really get a visual representation of your inner critic, to draw him or her, to find something on the internet if you don't want to draw it. I even had a client once that had one of those, do you remember those little troll kind of dolls where you could spin them in their hands? That represented her inner critic for her. So
whatever happened to those dolls?
I don't know. I'm sure you can probably find them on eBay somewhere. But yeah, it's so important to have some sort of visual representation and to get the secret that you are not your inner mean girl. You are not your inner bully, as I like to call it for guys. You're not your inner critic. It is not you that thinks those negative thoughts. It's not you that, you know, spews out those big fat lies. That is just that protection device that is part of the human experience. And I'm remembering one of my clients had the big fat lie that her inner critic beat her up with all the time was, "You are damaged goods."
Mm.
And this, it makes me want to cry whenever I hear that, because I've had friends, I've had clients that have done this, and this is lie number 8 in my book, "I am damaged goods." And through the process of her identifying that big fat lie and identifying her inner critic, that damaged goods, she was a recovered alcoholic, she'd been sober for years, and she just had this belief inside of her that she was damaged because of the alcohol abuse earlier in her life, because it was just the go-to thing that she would beat herself up with. Well, you're just damaged. That's just how it is. And through uncovering that her inner critic was running the show with that, she completely transformed her life. She went from not pursuing her dreams, she's artistic, amazing musician, not pursuing any of that, to fully pursuing that. She's now actually doing amazing work with teens. She decided to move from a city that was no longer serving her to New Mexico to be in an artistic community. And so literally she transformed her whole life, started pursuing what she wanted to pursue, started doing the work that she wanted to be doing in the world, started doing more art, more singing, more music in her life, and actually physically moved across the country.
Mm.
It was amazing to watch. She's so inspiring. She's now actually in the Great Work program that I lead with Christina Rilo and Shiloh Sophia McLeod, and she's just astonishing. And it all came from, you know, she had done so much work on herself, but just identifying that one big fat lie, that core foundational mother load, as I like to call it, big fat lie that was running the show, and really realizing that she didn't really think that about herself, that her inner wisdom had a whole other story about how she was perfect just as she was, and that she had come through every single one of those things so that she could have her message get out to teens and really do some preventative work for teens that might be turning to alcohol abuse in order to deal with their emotions. And it was just absolutely phenomenal to watch that transformation.
Mm, it sounds magical. And as you're sharing it, I'm thinking, yeah, you go, girl. And I'm also aware that that might be scaring people listening, or some people listening, because it's one thing to have a desire, and then it's another thing to act on it.
Yeah.
So what would you say to people who actually know what they want to do and they're holding themselves back from really following what their heart is just screaming to go and follow?
So I would say, you know, the way that I like to look at it is that when our desires match our belief, that's when manifestation happens. When your desires match your belief. And so often what we do is, instead of pursuing our desires, what we'll do is our desire is way up here and our belief is down in the dumps, right? Our desire is at a 10 and our belief is at a 1. And so often what we'll do is we'll shrink our desires down to match our beliefs. But what if you did the opposite? What if instead your desire is at that 10 and you work, instead do that inner work on raising your belief level to the 10?
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the magic happens. So that is where I really say, go and draw that picture of your inner critic and get those big fat lies out of everything that your inner critic is saying. And people resist this. I have a three-step process, I'm thinking, Jennifer, that it would be good to bring in here, because this is like where the magic happens of helping you begin to raise your belief. And here's the thing about beliefs is, yes, sometimes we have these miracle things where we just go from 1 to 10 in a day. It's like all of a sudden all these light bulbs happen and we're like, oh my God, my belief is now at a 10. Awesome. And more likely, it takes that diligence. It takes the 30 days, the 60 days, the 90 days, the 6 months of really working on raising your beliefs. So know that these kind of transformations oftentimes don't happen overnight, and they can, but oftentimes they don't. And so that's okay. Don't turn around and reverse the car just because you think, oh gosh, my desire was at a 1 and now it's at a 3, I'm a loser, and then all of a sudden, boom, your belief goes back down to a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Be diligent about that, because you've got to get your subconscious mind on board. But let's talk about the 3-step process, because this can be so useful and helpful. Something that I write about in the book. It's also something that we teach in Intermean Girl Reform School and partnerships. But step 1 of the 3-step process, and you can use this anytime you're feeling any sort of negative emotion. You can use this when you feel that sense of your belief is down in the dumps, but your desire is up a lot higher. You can use this anytime that you feel like, okay, I'm ready to have a transformation. Very simple, but very powerful. So the first step is to ask yourself, what is my inner critic saying? What is my inner mean girl, my inner bully saying? And really get all of those big fat lies out of the shadows and into the light so they can be healed. And oftentimes people will resist this because they think, oh, I don't want to focus on my negative thoughts. What I focus on grows, which I get it. And the truth also is that if you're feeling any sort of negative emotion, if your belief is down in the dumps, your inner critic is right there by your side running the show on some level. And so what we resist does persist. We've heard the saying a million times. And in this case, you got to get it out of the shadows and into the light. You got to bring it out so that you can heal it. So just, you can do this, write it. You can do this right now while you're listening. Why not? Go ahead and just ask yourself, what has my inner critic been saying to me? And just let it out. So it might be something, I'm thinking of a client of mine. We named her Inner Mean Girl Loveless Lulu. Loveless Lulu, when we drew her, and I highly recommend naming your inner critics, by the way. Loveless Lulu had a cigarette in one hand and a martini in the other and would say, you'll never be loved, kid. You're unlovable. We'll never love you, right? You can just picture this inner mean girl. You can imagine what would happen when my client would let Loveless Lulu put her Match.com profile up. Loveless Lulu used to choose all of her dates. So it was a nightmare. So for her, when we said, what is your inner critic saying? The step 1, it would be like, you're unlovable. Who would ever love you? Why even bother trying? You attract all the losers. You're a loser. It's never going to happen for you. You don't deserve love. And just get those big fat lies out. And then after your inner critic feels like he or she has had their say, like really let your inner critic rant, then and only then do you go to step 2. And that's when you close your eyes, and do this right now if it's safe to do so. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath and just ask, what does my inner wisdom know? What does my inner wisdom know? And this is where your inner wisdom's truth gets to come out. This is the source of truth. And so for my client with this Loveless Lulu, when we said, what does your inner wisdom know? She would say things like, I am so lovable. I am worthy of being loved. I am worthy and deserving of a fantastic relationship in my life. And I am ready to stop collecting evidence that all men out there are terrible, that there's no good men out there. I am ready to stop that. I am now ready, from my inner wisdom's truth, to collect evidence that there are amazing men out there and that I am the perfect match for one of them. That's step 2. And then step 3 is for you to find some sort of movement or gesture that allows you to really feel the presence of your inner wisdom. So for me, I actually tap on my heart. For this particular client, she kind of looked up towards the sky and would open up her chest a little bit. It felt that sensation in her chest. Whatever it is for you, so just go ahead. You're listening right now. You might as well try it. What would that inner wisdom movement be? And then go ahead and repeat back your inner wisdom's truth while doing that physical movement. So I am so lovable. I am so worthy and deserving of love in my life. There are amazing men out there, and I am a match to one of them. And that's a neuro-linguistic programming technique, an NLP technique, to bring that movement. Again, we talked earlier in the show about the body, and that movement piece is about creating that sense memory in your body. It's about bringing your whole facility into the show, your body, mind, spirit, your soul, all of it. And it's about really creating that new neural pathway in your brain, locking it in. And what you'll find when you do the inner wisdom movement over and over again is then sometimes you're in that stressful situation, you're in that meeting, and you just do that movement in a little way, and you just feel that presence of your inner wisdom flood your body. That's what we ultimately want. So step one is, what is my inner critic saying? Step two is, close your eyes and take a deep breath and ask, what does my inner wisdom know? And step three is to repeat back your inner wisdom's truth while doing that movement. And on my website at wakeupcallcoach.com, my main website, you can see, if you click on the three-step process tab, you can see a video of me running this amazing young woman named T through this process in front of a room of a couple hundred people. And I cry every time I watch it. It's just so, it's so amazing to hear what her inner critic was saying, what her inner mean girl was saying, and then what her inner wisdom knew. It was so profound. And I mean, I've asked that question, Jennifer, like, what is your inner wisdom know, thousands of times, and I'm always blown away at the wisdom that we carry inside of us if we just simply asked.
Mm.
So that's a three-step process.
I love that. I'm still back on Loveless Lulu. The image of that.
Can you imagine? Loveless Lulu.
You know those Hallmark
seriously cards
with the old lady there, and she's kind of slumped over, and she's a real smartass in her cards? Like, that's kind of the image that I get.
Oh, totally. I know the cards you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's totally Loveless Lulu. And this client realized that literally Loveless Lulu had been choosing her dates.
Mm.
I mean, really, literally, Loveless Lulu was in charge of her love life. And so this is the thing about our inner critics and the big fat lies, is when we aren't mindful about it, then all of a sudden our inner critic gets in charge of our life and then collects evidence to prove their theories. So whether it's that the big fat lie is, I'm unlovable, or I'm not good enough, or so-and-so is so much better than me, they start collecting evidence to prove their case, and then it really becomes, it starts to feel like the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
absolutely.
Yeah, and then it's just like, and this is why in the book, you know, I have 59 big fat lies in the book, and every single one of them is followed by the truth and then a coaching challenge exercise. I really wanted to make the book very bite-sized pieces. I'm a, you know, a mompreneur, as they call, you know, a working mom. So for me, I love books that are like, okay, I can flip open to a page, read three pages, and get something, and then go and be with my daughter, or go and be on the radio show or whatever. And so that's the way that I wrote the book. So there's the coaching challenge exercise, and then there's an affirmation and an inspiring quote. So that's how the book works. And, you know, people tell me, I just look at the table of contents and say, oh, that's the one. And then they just, you know, if they suffer from the big fat lie of perfectionism, they go straight to big fat lie number 47, I had better be perfect. And they open up to that big fat lie, and then they do that challenge exercise for that day, and that's the one that really breaks through for them for that day.
Mm. Well, let's stick with that then. So we have this belief that we have to be perfect, and where does that come from?
So, you know, it's interesting because in my work, I don't have as much interest in knowing where it comes from.
Mm.
Because I feel like we can get caught up, and I think that it's one of those things where us saying, okay, it's coming from my inner critic, and just leaving it at that and saying, okay, that's where it came from, and let's change it. Because I feel like we can get lost for years in trying to uncover, why am I thinking it that way? And sometimes it's a fruitful search. Sometimes it's really important, and I believe that there are times when we do need to do that research. And then sometimes it's like, oh, let me figure out, what is that inner critic voice? Let me draw that inner critic. Let me name that inner critic. And then all of a sudden the light bulb will go off for my client of like, oh, my God, my inner critic is my mom. Like that'll just happen for some people. Or it was my basketball coach from when I was in junior high that used to say these things to me. Sometimes it's like that, like you can just know it. And then sometimes we don't know where it came from, but we just know that it's present. So I'm much more interested in how can we change it than going down the why spiral that can just end up taking us years to uncover. And so I just, you know, put that out and use your, you know, everyone really look at that and really go to your inner wisdom. And your inner wisdom will tell you, actually, I do need to go and research that. It is important for us to know. And then I find oftentimes it's not as useful to know where it came from, whether it came from society saying that we're supposed to be perfect, because Lord knows, especially as women, you know, we've been told that we were supposed to be perfect from the day that we were born.
Mm-hmm.
Good, perfect, nice, all of those things. I got to be a good girl. It's a big, fat lie. You know, I better be perfect. It's a big, fat lie. And when we have grown up in this society that has shown us, you know, perfection through every magazine and billboard and television show of people that are airbrushed and photoshopped to death, no wonder we have the perfection complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it leads people into another big fat lie, which is I'm too fat or I'm too thin or, you know, whatever they feel about their appearance. So how do we overcome those big fat lies?
Well, I think, first of all, with the I'm too fill in the blank, you know, fat, thin, ugly, tall, this is big fat lie number 14 in the book, I think that first of all, to get that you're just not alone. I mean, I've coached women that literally look perfect in bikinis. I've coached women that are actresses that have the perfect bodies, and oftentimes they're the ones that are the most ruthless about their appearance. So, again, it's that constant thinking of the external things are going to bring us the internal peace, and it's just such a big fat lie. But in particular for the I'm too... you know, fat, thin, short, tall. The challenge in this is to look at what does your inner mean girl believe this flaw, quote unquote, is keeping you from?
Mm.
So look at that for a minute. You know, if you have the big fat lie of I'm too fat, really look at what have I been letting my feelings of being too fat keep me from? A relationship, a promotion? What is it really keeping you from in the eyes of your inner mean girl? And then just check in on that. Like, how true is that assumption? In other words, is your weight really keeping you from finding a mate? Or is your big nose preventing that career change? And what you'll notice is that 99% of the time you are keeping you from what you want, not the wrinkles around the eyes or the size of your hips.
Mm.
So really looking at that. And then imagine for a minute that this physical characteristic is not stopping you from getting what you want. And really breathe that in. What if it was possible that my weight, whether it's too little or too much, wasn't keeping me from getting in a relationship or wasn't keeping me from getting that promotion? You know, being a woman, for me, the I'm too fat thing is definitely a go-to for my inner critic, for my inner mean girl. Negative Nelly is her name. And she's very negative. And she has a lot of anxiety. She actually wears a witch's hat and has long, really scary fingernails. And, you know, she loves to beat me up with the I'm too fat. And believe me, I feel like I've been every weight under the sun. You know, I've ranged and dressed, you know, in pant size from probably when I'm at my slimmest, I'm a size 8, and when I'm at my biggest, I'm a size 16. And from, you know, having baby, you know, from going through all the body changes from there to being, you know, at phases where I'm, you know, working out all the time and feeling really great and really feel on track with eating the healthiest foods possible. I've been through every weight. My husband's been with me for now 12 years. It'll be 12 years in just a few weeks here. And, you know, he's seen me through every single weight. And you know what I realized? Like, I had this whole story going on. My inner mean girl was telling me that if I was too heavy, if I was too fat, that I couldn't have my career, that I couldn't be a speaker, that I couldn't be a coach, that I couldn't be an author. And when I said, well, how true is that? And I realized I've been all these different sizes and all these different weights and had a career the whole time. I never had a client say to me, sorry, you're just too fat. I can't work with you. I never had someone say, we'd book you for that speaking gig, except, you know what, you're a size 16 right now, and I'm just sorry. We just can't put you on that stage. Or, Jennifer, I don't think that you actually asked me what size I was before you booked me on your radio show, did you? Right? But my inner mean girl was saying that to me. So really, really look at that. And then I really want you to challenge this by saying, think of a person who is also, quote unquote, too fat or too old or too whatever you think you are, who does have the success, love, or career you want. So maybe you think that you're too ugly to find love. That's what your inner mean girl tells you. And then I want you to think about a person known for their, quote unquote, character face who is crazy in love with their soulmate. Or that dear friend of yours that has been with her high school sweetheart through every weight under the sun, and when they were both pimply face and awkward, and really challenge that. And then just go ahead and look at the whole person you are by filling in the blanks. This is part of the challenge here. So I'm too, insert the negative characteristic, and I'm also, insert things that you love about yourself. So it could be, I'm too old, and I'm also very energetic, a great baker, and a movie buff. Or I'm too flat-chested, and I'm also loving, funny, a great team player. I'm too fat, and I'm also a great coach on this radio show and have a great career. Really challenge it. And then just really sinking it in by the affirmation here. I am beautiful, sexy, and strong just the way I am. And I love the inspiring quote at the end of this big fat lie in the book is, to wish you were someone else is to waste the person you are.
Mm.
So I hope that was helpful for everyone.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love how you shared your own story within that, because I think one of the things that's important is that when we can be vulnerable enough to let people in to see that this is an ongoing process. You know, I know the same is true for me. I'm always staying on top of that, what I call the monkey mind.
Yep.
In your case, the inner mean girl or the inner critic. You know, because every time we up-level, there's always going to be a new voice that pops up.
Oh, my gosh.
In fact, several.
I know. Well, it's one of those things, again, the external is not always matched the internal. And it's so true. When I have clients that come to me that say, or people in Inner Mean Girl Reform School that say, Amy, my inner mean girl is really beating me up right now. I say, oh, good. Where are you stretching? Where are you growing? Where are you up-leveling? Because that is like one of the biggest signals. And they'll go, oh, yeah, I did just get that new promotion. Or, oh, my gosh, I just met this person that I think could be the right partner for me. Or, my book is about to come out. I mean, talk about a time in my life, Jennifer, where I was like, oh, was riddled with big fat lies. My book, Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves, is about to come out, and I am just like in the corner with my inner critics having a massive meeting saying, okay, I've got to get on board here because I got to go on book tour. You know, and that's just it. And knowing, and I love the way that you said that, of the up-leveling, it's so true. And so do that three-step process when you're up-leveling. And, you know, our bodies and our minds will fight to keep us in the place that we know, the place that's familiar, even when it's excruciating.
Mm. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
So true. I'm like you. When I feel the nigglies and the discomfort, I actually celebrate it because I can't feel uncomfortable unless I left my comfort zone.
Yep. That's exactly
right. So
there's
already the shift, and then it's just a matter of integrating, like you said, the inner and the outer to get on board.
Yes. And when you look at the brain science around it, this is something that we go in depth in class 8 of Inner Mean Girl Reform School. We call it brain science, your inner mean girl to death, jokingly and lovingly. But we teach a whole module on that because it is so fascinating to see all of the brain research. And when you look at chaos theory 101 and you look at what it takes for you to transform, when you look at water under a microscope, when water is going to transform into steam, it must go through the boiling point. It must go through that chaotic point before it can transform. And that's what happens in our brains when we're up-leveling. We must go through that breakdown period to have the breakthrough, as it's often said. And the breakdown period, it ain't no joke. I mean, like, really, I always am like, why am I so uncomfortable? I feel like I'm so raw. I'm so emotional. And then I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm going through that breakdown part. And I wish we could skip it. But it just doesn't work that way.
It's so inconvenient.
What's that?
I said it's so inconvenient.
It is inconvenient. It is. And that's why it's so important to have support and sisterhood and brotherhood and someone that's on the other side that's championing you. That's why Intermingle Reform School is so powerful, because we bring together hundreds of women from all over the world and walk them through step by step through this powerful, proven 10-step process over the course of 10 weeks, or we have a home study kit as well, so people will do it there. But we do it in community, and we do it in this beautiful container of support and love with Christine Arilo and I at the helm there, leading people through the process. And we have this closed online community where people are posting up, oh my gosh, Downer Debbie is at it again. My inner mean girl is just such a downer. Ah, you know, and you have that support through that process of really amping up your feminine superpowers, as we like to call them, of compassion and intuition. And it's so, that's one of the things that people report through Intermingle Reform School, is it's because the safety of the container and being with other women that are saying, okay, I'm going to focus on this for 10 weeks and really see what I can do with this inner mean girl and get her out of the driver's seat in my life and get my inner wisdom in the driver's seat instead. And it's just so powerful to have that group support as you go through the breakdown to the breakthrough. So important.
Mm-hmm. Well, when is your next program coming up?
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for asking. We actually have an Inner Mean Girl Reform School. It's actually our only 2012 session that we'll be doing live this year, and actually possibly our final live class. We've been doing this for years now. And Christine and I are so excited for our class that begins on July 11th. And we're actually holding, as we call it, the Inner Mean Girl Reform School open house. Remember those open, you know, those open house nights back when in the school days where you would go and
yeah.
you had a chance to tour the school? That's what we call our Inner Mean Girl Reform School open house, which is happening on June 27th. So I would absolutely, it's totally free. You can come and check it out and see if the work resonates with you. You can go to innermeangirl.com. That's innermeangirl.com and sign up right there for our open house. And you can attend live on the 27th or register and get the recording for free and just join in the fun. We give so much juicy, juicy, juicy content and these great tools on that call during our open house. So I really hope anybody that's resonating will join us at innermeangirl.com. Thanks for asking,
mm-hmm.
Jennifer.
I love that. And then the actual program starts in July. You said July 11th?
July 11th, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so especially since this could very well be your last time, this is definitely the time that folks want to be getting on board and
exactly.
and receiving support from two master coaches and teachers on this topic, because you know, even those of us that do our personal work on a regular basis still need, like you said, the community. And
absolutely.
Sometimes we need to be participants in these kind of programs rather than always leading them, if that's the case of where you may be right now if you're listening. But really, there's never, you know, you're always going to come up with a million and one excuses as to why you can't do this, and that's the job of the inner mean girl, I would imagine.
Yes.
Amy, is coming up with all the yeah buts. Because when we're ready to up-level, that monkey mind is going to, the inner mean girl is just going to be like, no, you've got hangnails, or you've got to get your bunion shaved, and all kinds of excuses why you can't show up. Yeah, you're welcome.
I love the bunion shaved. That is beautifully disgusting. Awesome. Yeah, it's true. And you know, that's actually, it's a really good point. We've had so many coaches and therapists and doctors and lawyers and leaders and speakers come through Inner Mean Girl Reform School because they're like, oh, I just need a place where I can rest and really work on an inner mean girl that I want to transform. And every time we teach the course, I take a new inner mean girl through the 10-step process. And that's one of the things that's so great about doing Inner Mean Girl Reform School is once you're an Inner Mean Girl Reform School, you're always an Inner Mean Girl Reform School, so you can go back. You have lifetime access to the recordings and the transcripts and the worksheets and the workbook and all of the goodies that we do during class. And you can redo the program anytime that you want to say, oh, my God, I just discovered a new Inner Mean Girl. I'm taking her through. And that's what Christine and I do for ourselves every time we run Inner Mean Girl Reform School. So I'm really excited. I think I'm going to have to take my inner mean girl. She's spawned recently. She's very untrustworthy. So I'm going to take that inner mean girl through Inner Mean Girl Reform School this July. So come and join me at innermeangirl.com, and we'll walk hand in hand through Inner Mean Girl Reform School together and reform our inner mean girls. We'll love them to death, as we like to say.
Well, and I love the fact, too, I think this is important for everyone listening, is that, you know, we want to be in supportive environments when we're going through this kind of stuff,
yeah,
with people that really get it and really understand it and are walking the talk, because then we're free to release when we have that sacred container and we know that it's safe for us to show up and just be honest and reveal the big fat lies that you talk about. You know, all of this, I mean, that's a vulnerable process. So to know that people are holding space and celebrating that and staying out of judgment and shame and blame and all those kind of energies, I mean, that in and of itself, to have the sacred container, is really powerful in shifting energies. And then with the information on top of that, I can only imagine the kind of transformation that's going to happen for people.
It's really remarkable. I'm thinking about one of our Inner Mean Girl Reform School graduates. She's a mom of three young children. All three of her kids are under the age of 7. And she came to Inner Mean Girl Reform School and was just one of those moms. She also had a full career. So she was a working mom. Her husband also worked. So it was a dual household, career household with three young children. And as you can imagine, I know that a lot of people listening can, she was always putting herself last, always putting herself last. And as we worked through Inner Mean Girl Reform School, she realized that her inner mean girl just really told her that she had to put herself last, that there was no space for her, that, she, you know, who did she think she was to, you know, with, she should be spending every moment that she wasn't at work with her children. You know, you've got to be a good girl. She suffered from the good girl syndrome majorly and was always trying, you know, running around, running herself ragged, not taking care of herself. And through the course of Inner Mean Girl Reform School, when she started to get her inner wisdom in charge, she actually started carving out and creating a sacred space every single morning. She got up a little bit earlier, just 15 minutes earlier, and would do her daily power practice, as we like to call it, so that she could really get in there and connect in with her inner wisdom on a daily basis. And as you can imagine, starting that daily practice made a huge difference in the way that she was with her children, in the way that she was at work, in the way that she was with herself. And having that self-care time, that radical self-care time, every morning first thing. And it wasn't a long process. She wasn't sitting silent on a meditation, you know, stool for 60 minutes, just not how her life worked. But she was just taking, you know, 10 to 15 minutes in the morning first thing. So she started that. And through the course of doing Inner Mean Girl Reform School, she actually released 23 pounds.
Wow.
Of extra weight that had just been plaguing her, because the only way that she knew how to reward herself was by overeating and eating stuff that didn't work for her. And so it's not a weight loss program. It's not about, you know, here, do this diet and here's these diet tricks and starving yourself. It wasn't about that at all. It came internally from her, of her saying, I am worth it. I am worth being mindful as I eat. I am worth feeding my body really great foods that really feel good to me. And it was like her inner wisdom got in charge of what she was fueling her body with. And it was amazing to watch what happened when she finally put herself first. And she's an absolute inspiration. It was really powerful. And so any of you out there that can relate to that, just imagine what would happen if you put yourself first. First on the list.
And that's going to be a pretty fun way, actually, to release weight. You know, it's not like you're having to be a slave driver and work hard and
And it wasn't even her goal.
Know, beat yourself up.
I mean, her goal, it was like a side effect, you know,
yeah,
of the goal of putting her inner wisdom in the driver's seat. Because Lord knows, we all have inner mean girls that are like, honey, this is too much to feel. Eat that cookie. Go for it. You deserve it. You earned it. I know I have one. You know, so it's like all of a sudden her inner wisdom was like, you don't need that. Let's go take a bath. And that was, it was just what happened for her on a very natural level. I was like, what? She actually showed up on one of our calls and gave a live testimonial about it. And I didn't even know that she had lost, really saw that weight during Inner Mean Girl Reform School. It wasn't even something like it was that like much of a side effect of the work. That all of a sudden she's like, oh, and by the way, I don't think I had told you, Amy Christine, but I lost 23 pounds. I was like, what? Like, so interesting. But it was just the side effect of her being in tune with her inner wisdom. It was really powerful.
Wow, that's incredible. So,
yeah.
So whatever is a girl to do when she's lost the slave driver and the person that believes that she has to work her butt off in order to achieve any goals, where does that energy now go?
Well, when we release that inner achievement junkie, it's like all of a sudden we get fueled by inspiration, and it's so much fun because we talk about transforming and giving your inner mean girls, your inner critics, a new job. So with the achievement junkie, that's always like, okay, you cannot rest. There's this next thing. It really is, the achievement is like a drug to the achievement junkie. That's why we call her the junkie. She's like jonesing for the next achievement, but then she's always chasing the dragon, as they say in the addiction world, because you never get high enough. It doesn't matter how big the accomplishment is. You're just on to the next one. And so when the achievement junkie, when you start reassigning her, it's like, oh, well, what's a good use of that energy of being driven all the time and driving it? So it's like you can go and have her create your to-do list. She can become the taskmaster for even your other inner mean girls. Or we talk about, you know, saying, okay, if you have an inner comparison queen, as we call our Inner Mean Girl Reform School, she's the one that just goes out and tries to find, you know, compares your worst to everyone else's best. So you always feel like you're on the loser. So-and-so is so much better than me. And all of a sudden you take that that inner comparison queen and you transform her into the inner talent scout. And so her job is now to go out and find people that are rocking it and use it instead of comparing you to it. You then say, oh, thank you so much for finding that talent. And now you reach out to that person. Maybe you get on their radio show. Maybe you end up saying, oh, let me partner with this person in some way. Maybe you just use them as inspiration in your life. But instead of using it as a source of beating you up, you use it as fuel for inspiration. And Christine has a great story because she was working on transforming her inner comparison queen and said, okay, you need to be my talent scout on this. And her talent scout that she had transformed actually found me when I was doing the Women Master series back in 2009. And she reached out to me because of that. So it was just really interesting, and then Inner Mean Girl Reform School was born from that relationship. So you just never know when you transform that inner comparison queen into a talent scout who you're going to find on your path.
I love that. That's really powerful.
Mm.
I have to say, I'm still left with the Lulu mean girl, and now the Jones and the junkie.
I know, right? It's so true. It's like, give me another hit. Come on, baby. Go find it. You know? Like, oh, my Lord. There's no
And then
rest.
The talent scout. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's fun. And that's the thing, Inner Mean Girl Reform School, Christine and I just like to have fun. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we've found this way of doing this deep transformational work while laughing hysterically, seeing the absurdity of these big fat lies. Like, isn't it absurd that you could think that you're unlovable? I mean, who on this planet is unlovable? I mean, really, like, it's just
yeah,
an
and who else would we tolerate
thought.
That kind of dialogue from?
I know.
We would never allow someone to come up to us and go, hey, Jennifer, just wanted to let you know you're unlovable. All
right.
See you later.
We just wouldn't do it. And yet,
we'd be like, oh, no, you didn't.
Exactly. Well, that's why, you know, I've had people say, you know, why do you call it big fat lies, Amy? That just seems very extreme, isn't it? Just that you're busting some myths.
You're being very prejudiced towards fat people.
Right, exactly.
People want to read all kinds of stuff into it.
I know, and it's like, because here's the thing that I discovered. When I would be sitting across from this gorgeous client and hear them say things like, I don't belong. And I would say, that is a big, fat lie. When I would say it with that conviction, that is a big, fat lie. You belong. You belong here, sweetie. Something would happen inside of them. That would really ignite their inner wisdom to say, yeah. All of a sudden, they'd stick up for themselves. You're right. It is a big, fat lie. If that goes back to those childhood days, there's something very important about it saying, no, that is a big, fat lie. I will not tolerate that kind of talk inside my head any longer. We stand for truth inside this head of mine. And it really activates the inner mean girl and then activates the inner wisdom to come up and say, uh-uh, no more. That's a big fat lie. When I'm speaking, I just recently spoke to 150 teenagers at a girls' Inc. event. And I was having them stand up and say, so when you hear your friends say, I'm too fat, I want you to say, that's a big fat lie. We were all pounding our feet and stomping on the ground, and they were standing up. And I was like, yes, we need to get it through our bodies that this is a big, fat lie, that I will not tolerate that inside my head anymore. And I will not tolerate it when I hear my friends saying it. My husband and I'll be like, honey, I think that's a big, fat lie. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, that is a big, fat lie. Life is hard. So it can become this little shorthand and really activate the truth inside of you.
I love that. Well, on that note, you know, we could talk forever, but I think that's a great place to end our time today because we've run out of time. I want to thank all of you for sharing your time with us today. And so from now until the next time we connect, everyone, have a great rest of your day. Namaste.
You've been listening to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose expert, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. To find out more about Jennifer Longmore, visit her on her site at souljourneys.ca.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world.
Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to the Elizabeth Anglin Show, your psychic connection to your soul's path. Elizabeth takes you to the Universal Etheric Space Library, where soul records and life lesson plans are stored. This live call-in show will help you decide what your life plan is through the help of your guides and guardian angels. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 1-888-640-4893 to schedule your reading with psychic medium, animal communicator, Elizabeth Anglin.
I'm Dr. Pat Basile, the host of the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Let me help you take your empowering message to a community of people looking for products and services that value all life on earth and tap into the one true freedom we have, the freedom to choose. Let our listeners choose you. Join the buzz and be the buzz. Sponsor the Dr. Pat Show. Call me at 206-523-5522. That's 206-523-5522.